image on earth, we represent him. And this whole process is called, this process of becoming holy is called sanctification. Now, before we talk about sanctification, I want to do a compare and contrast between sanctification and salvation, something we need to set some ground rules for so that we don't mix up the two and understand the difference and what each one does and what purpose it has. So, for salvation, God provided a way to be saved because every single one of us, we missed the mark. Missing the mark, the best example I've heard is who's missed the plane? And I don't know how many people here fly. I've flown a lot. I did miss one flight. It wasn't my fault. It was just bad. I don't know who's flown through Chicago. They always give you like 40 minutes to run from one plane to the other, and the airport's huge. So I missed the flight. And it reminded me of something, that every single one of us, we've missed the mark in our life. We were born sinners. We needed a Savior. And some of us, we're all running toward the plane. Some of us miss it by 5 minutes. And then we have Hitler, who missed it by 5 days. You know, and we can argue back and forth about how close we were to make it on a flight. But the one thing we all have in common, you and anybody like Hitler or any other guys that did some terrible things in history, is that none of us got on the plane. And that's where salvation comes in. And we all need salvation in order to see, to be saved and to enter into the kingdom of God. Salvation is instant. It happens right away. As soon as you believe and confess with your mouth, that's what the Bible says, you've been redeemed in that moment. Boom, happens. Sanctification is a gradual process. And salvation, another point, is it requires faith and believing. Believing in the promise and in the unseen. Sanctification requires yielding. Submitting to the Holy Spirit. Now, salvation is also final. Once it happens, you're sealed, like an envelope. You take a letter, you put in an envelope, the Holy Spirit represents that envelope, you're the letter inside. As soon as you receive the Holy Spirit, you've been sealed inside this envelope. Sanctification is a growth process. It grows in you. Salvation, it removes the penalty of sin. And sanctification, it's the process of resisting the desire to sin. God's desire is for all of us to be saved, but God's command is for all of us to be sanctified. So this is God's desire, salvation, and sanctification is God's command. Salvation is to get you out of the world. And this one's good. Sanctification is to get the world out of you. Everyone knows what that means. Bad habits, the way we think, all these things. Salvation changes your eternity. Sanctification changes your character. All right. I'm going to slide this over so everybody's able to see it. Take pictures, write it down, whatever you got to do. Make sure you got something to work with. All right. Now, one example we have in the Bible of a process that includes both salvation and sanctification is the children of Israel. So we all know that Joseph, he was betrayed by his brothers. He was moved to Egypt. He spent some time in prison, and then God blessed his life. He was given authority in the Pharaoh's palace, and the nation of Israel began to grow from that place in Egypt. And over several hundred years, they became massively populated. And the Egyptians, they became afraid. And what they did was enslave them. And after about 400 years, the children of Israel began to cry out to God. God, we need salvation. We need to be saved from our oppressors. And God answered that call by calling out Moses and using Moses to bring the children out of Israel. Now, that's our salvation part. They were saved from their oppressors. They covered all this. Now they began, as soon as they crossed the Red Sea, they began the process of sanctification. Now, I shared this with the youth last night, is that I jumped on Google Earth, Google Maps, and I typed in Jerusalem as the destination, and then I typed in Cairo as the starting point. And it coughed up a pretty scenic route for me, but it was about 149 hours to walk from Cairo to Jerusalem, which equals about 6 days. But if you were to cut just straight across, it's about 3 days, they say. And most of us know the story. It took Israel 40 years to get from Egypt to the Promised Land, which is right around Jerusalem area. And this whole process, if you read the whole history of what was going on in those 40 years, was God was trying to sanctify the children of Israel, but they would not allow him to sanctify them. They would continue to worship their idols. They would continue to rebel against God. And this whole process that God was trying to get Egypt out of their hearts, at one point they even wanted to go back to Egypt. They said, oh, it was better for us to live in Egypt. At least we had food. This is when they were lacking food. They weren't really lacking food, but they just wanted meat and some other stuff. And God was still providing manna. God had promised that I have the promised land set aside for you, and I just want you to trust and believe in me that we're going to get there. And through this whole time, he provided things like the Ten Commandments. He was trying to get the children of Israel to be fully devoted to him through the process of sanctification. Now, we're gonna remember this part of Israel here. We're going to hold on to it. And what I mentioned about that, I'm going to bring it up at the end. But we're going to start with the first question here. And it's, where does sanctification come from? Let's open to John 14, 25 through 26. And these verses outline where sanctification comes from and who it comes from. It says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. This verse outlines it so simply that when Christ left, he promised that right before he left, he promised that when he leaves, God's going to send his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to direct you into all truth. And bring to remembrance all the things you should know in the heart of God. So when a person is saved, in that moment, like we just mentioned, it's instant, it takes faith, it's final, it removes the penalty of sin, and it gets the world out of you, it changes your eternity. And in that moment, you are sealed. And you're sealed in the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit begins to talk to you. But in order to hear the Spirit talk to you, you need to yield to the Holy Spirit, right? From that moment forward, the Holy Spirit begins a journey with you, begins the road of sanctification. You know you are being sanctified when you develop a desire to stop sinning. Romans 8:4 says, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. These verses are laying it out so simply that you need the Spirit in order to live the life God has called you to live. Living by the flesh only brings death into your life. Now, the next question is, how do I allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify me? We need to learn to abide in him. And there's four things that I believe are critical to being able to abide in him. The first is prayer. We need to have a prayer life. And this is so important because we have a generation that has no prayer life. We have a prayerless generation. And God desires us to always be in communion with Him, not only in our personal time, but also to come together in communion and spend time in prayer together as a people, as a church, so that we allow through prayer to hear God's voice, to hear what He wants to speak into our lives, into our church, into our circumstances, and be able to manifest His kingdom through that. The second thing, and I'd like to talk a little bit about this part, is the Word, which is the Bible, and what God's spoken in it. And this Word, and the Word, it's such a crucial part of being sanctified, specifically because of one story in the Bible. We have right before the Last Supper, Jesus is with His disciples, and He stoops down and begins to wash the feet of the disciples. He gets to Peter, and Peter, because of how the culture is there and everything, the servant never gets his feet washed. And Peter's like, no, I can't allow you, Jesus, to wash my feet. It was almost an embarrassment for the servant. And Jesus said, and I really hope you guys get this right here, is that the Bible says that Christ is the Word made flesh, right? And the Word, Jesus, in that moment was washing the feet of Peter. He was sanctifying his feet. We need to allow the Word, Jesus Christ, and everything written in the Bible to sanctify us. See, a lot of times we do this thing where we either look at the Bible as a burden, like I'll do it if I feel like it, I'll do it if the time's convenient for me, and we've started to make the Bible seem like a boring routine when it's not. The Bible has the fullness of truth. It is what's gonna, when you read it, bring joy, bring healing, bring freedom. And we've gotten into a culture where we visit the Bible. We don't live in it. We open the page once a month. If something bad's going on, you know, we'll go read it, you know, just make ourselves feel better. But we've completely lost our connection with the Word. And this is why our lives have such a hard time being sanctified in so many areas, because we don't spend time in the Word. We don't spend time in prayer. When you spend time in His Word, you begin to know His heart. You begin to understand the heart of Christ, how much He loves you, what He's done for you, the things He's promised over your life. And through that, you've opened your soul to be changed, to be renewed. The third thing is we walk in conviction with the Holy Spirit. Conviction is when, it's not condemnation. Condemnation is when you do something, you slip up, and you have these negative thoughts saying, see, nothing changed. You're the same old person. You're making the same mistakes. But the Holy Spirit, He convicts. And the Holy Spirit says, when you fall, He says, He quietly reminds you of who you are. And when you read the Word, you begin to understand your new identity. When you spend time in prayer, you understand that you're a child of God and that you're part of a kingdom. And when you slip up, you all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit reminds you that you shouldn't do this because it is wrong. It brings the wrong things into your life. But you're a prince or a princess in the kingdom of God. This is not something a prince or princess does. You know, this is not you. This is not who you are. And that grace should enable you to walk out a new lifestyle. Galatians 5:16 through 17 says, "For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." When we walk in the Spirit, when we hear the Spirit speak into our lives, through conviction, through the Word, through time in prayer, it frees us to be made holy and to walk a pure life. Fourth thing is renewing our minds. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." And the Bible talks about uprooting thoughts or uprooting negative thoughts and uprooting trees. And I don't know who's researched how brains work and how they develop thoughts. When you think a thought, your mind actually creates, on a microscopic level, this connection. It looks like a tree. It's like it has a little stem and then a bunch of branches. And I can't remember what it's called, but every time you develop a thought, whether good or bad, it develops this branch looking like tree thing in your mind. And it's so cool how the scriptures connects this to an actual tree. And it says any thoughts that are not of God need to be uprooted. So we need to uproot these bad trees in our minds and replace them with good trees, good thoughts, thoughts that come from the Spirit and that give us direction and purpose in our life. Now, what's the evidence of sanctification? So now you're in the process of being sanctified. You've opened yourself up to the Spirit for something to change in your life. You want to get rid of bad habits, bad thoughts, bad traits that are causing a roadblock for the Spirit to move in your life. What is the sign of something actually happening? Let's go to Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And that is the evidence of something being changed in your life. When you begin to have things like love and joy, self-control, you're constantly looking out for other people rather than yourself. You're living a selfless life. You're always in tune with the Spirit, trying to hear, do this, go here. You know, and kindness, being able to be patient and kind with people, that is a fruit of the Spirit. That is a fruit of something being sanctified in your life. And I know in my life, when I rededicated my life to Christ, I knew I had a lot of garbage. I had a lot of words that I would say that weren't appropriate. I thought bad thoughts. I had bad habits. And I knew as soon as I was saved that I needed to begin this process of sanctification. And that process, I like what Oleg said yesterday, is sometimes painful. And he gave an example of gold. Like gold goes through a lot of heat to be purified. The hotter it gets, the more impurities come out. And sometimes we run away from this growth process when we should be embracing it, because it gets the world out of us. It gets this part out of us. And yes, we're saved. We're out of the world. We're redeemed. We're part of a kingdom. But God is trying to bring his kingdom down to earth. How does he do that? We even prayed in the prayer that Jesus said to allow God's kingdom to come here on earth. But we don't even understand ourselves what that means. But God wants to manifest his love and everything about him through people just like you. And that, in order for that manifestation to happen, we need to cover this part here. We need to get the world out of us, so that we have a clean channel, a clean vessel that God's able to manifest his presence here on earth. And that's where the children of Israel, like I mentioned in the beginning, that's where an entire generation never saw the promised land. They never made themselves available to be sanctified in order to walk in purity and get through that desert in maybe 3 months or less and be able to see what God promised. And it wasn't God's fault. God didn't stop them on purpose. The people themselves limited God. The people themselves, because of their hearts, because of their rebellious hearts, even after God showed all the miracles and before their eyes, they still turned away from him. And that is so crucial that we all check our lives and make sure we are open to sanctification. We ask the Holy Spirit, where and what things do you want to change in my life so that your Spirit could be manifested here on earth, so I'm able to love people, appreciate people, be kind, be patient with people, be selfless, and just represent who God is in his image to everyone you come in contact with. John 14:23-24 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home in him. This is talking about a believer. If a believer loves God, he makes himself available for God and the Holy Spirit to come and reside in you. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. If you truly love Jesus Christ, you will keep his commandments. You will allow the Holy Spirit to create in you a new heart and to bring the kingdom of God to earth through you. And that's where this command part comes in. And this is where we need to really grasp this, that if you truly love God, if you truly understand what happened here, if you truly know what God sacrificed so that you could be redeemed, the next thing is to listen to his command, which is to get your life sanctified, to allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify and follow his command. His command was for you to be sanctified. And when closing, here's a question for you. If Christ died for you so the Holy Spirit could live in you, are you willing to die to yourself to be sanctified so the Holy Spirit can live through you? And that is something I want all of you to think about and carry out in this week. And you could hear this, go downstairs, eat your cupcakes and coffee, and forget about this line. But I want you to take this question and apply it in your life. Ask yourself, am I allowing the Holy Spirit to do something different in my life? Or am I blocking him? And if we go day from day, week from week, year to year, not allowing the Holy Spirit to do his thing in our life, we become just like the children of Israel. We create a generation just wandering in a desert, never seeing God's promise manifest in our life. So let's stand. And I just want to pray over you and just empower you and just remind you of what God's done for you, that he gave his son so that all this could be provided in a moment. But if you truly love Christ, he commands us to walk a life of sanctification where we yield to the Spirit. We understand it's a gradual growth process, but we yield, we resist the sin, and because we're commanded to do this, he's able to get the world out of you and change your character so that his kingdom can manifest here on earth. Father, we just thank you for your word today, God. God, we thank you for the truth of your salvation, Father, and the love that you poured out on humanity, God. And we thank you, God, for surrendering your son and going to the cross, being able to redeem us. And God, we love you so much, and we want to be able to show this love to you, God, by listening to your commands, Father, and yielding to your Spirit. Father, create in us a new heart. Remove all the impurities that are not meant to be there, that are blocking your manifestation here on earth, Father. Give us a renewed mind, God. Give us a desire to be in your word, to discipline ourselves, to read your word, to spend time in prayer, to hear your voice for ourselves, God. And that we don't become a dead generation wandering in a desert. God, you want to bring this generation to life. You want to use every single one of us in our work environments, in our city streets, in our government sectors, everywhere, God. You want to use us to bring the truth of your love to every single person who hasn't heard. God, create in us a new heart. And I ask, Father, that you just free us from any lies that we've been living under, that we take this word, God, and that we apply it to our life in the coming days, in the coming weeks, years, and for the rest of our life, Father, that we allow your Spirit to move and do in us a new thing. We worship you, Father, and we love you, and we thank you for this time. We pray, God, that you continue to do your will in this place, and we thank you for Pastor Tom, God, and as he spends his time in Florida, I pray, Father, that you just anoint him, give him rest in his body and his spirit, God, that you regenerate his spirit, and that you remind him and his family how much you love him. We worship you, God, and we thank you for your word. Pray all this in your name. Amen. All right. Service has come to a close. And if you guys need something to munch on spiritually this week, take a picture, write down the question I asked you, and begin to apply it to your life. Do something different this week and allow the Holy Spirit to change your life. All right. So join us downstairs for fellowship. Thank you for coming out today.